Hi and welcome to another one of my blogs. I missed last week's because I'm knackered, and we have our amazing baby number two, Max. He's 13, 14 weeks old now, and our three-year-old daughter Olivia. So life is interesting to say the least, and trying to do everything in terms of just keeping the day job going and providing content and the video and the podcast, etc., etc. But here we go, I am back online, and today we are going to chat about AI and the role of sales, and how is AI actually going to impact the role of sales. And I think, you know, specifically for me, it's around the SDRs or the sales development reps, because unless you've been living under a rock for the last couple of weeks, then you will have seen the Google Duplex demo on how they are using their AI assistant to book an appointment. And if you haven't seen that, then I'm now going to play the intro and then the two appointments that it books, so that you can just understand, you know, the crazy world that we are now moving into.
Assistant. As I said earlier, our vision for our assistant is to help you get things done. It turns out a big part of getting things done is making a phone call. You may want to get an oil change schedule, maybe call a plumber in the middle of the week, or even schedule a haircut appointment. You know, we are working hard to help users through those moments. We want to connect users to businesses in a good way. Businesses actually rely a lot on this, but even in the US, 60% of small businesses don't have an online booking system set up. We think AI can help with this problem. So let's go back to this example. Let's say you want to ask Google to make you a haircut appointment on Tuesday between 10 and noon. What happens is the Google Assistant makes the call seamlessly in the background for you. So what you're going to hear is the Google Assistant actually calling a real salon to schedule the appointment for you. Let's listen.
Haircut for a client. I'm looking for something on May 3rd. Sure, give me 1 second. Mm-hmm. Sure, what time are you looking for around?
At 12 p.m.
We do not have a 12 p.m. available. The closest we have to that is a 1:15.
Do you have anything between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.?
Depending on what service she would like, what service is she looking for?
Just a woman's haircut for now.
Okay, we have a 10 o'clock.
10 a.m. is fine.
Okay, what's her first name?
The first name is Lisa.
Okay, perfect. So I will see Lisa at 10 o'clock on May 3rd.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Great. Have a great day. Bye.
That was a real call you just heard. The amazing thing is the assistant can actually understand the nuances of conversation. We've been working on this technology for many years. It's called Google Duplex. It brings together all our investments over the years in natural language understanding, deep learning, text-to-speech. By the way, when we are done, the assistant can give you a confirmation notification saying your appointment has been taken care of. Let me give you another example. Let's say you want to call a restaurant, but maybe it's a small restaurant which is not easily available to book online. The call actually goes a bit differently than expected. So take a listen.
See, how may I hear you?
Hi, I'd like to reserve a table for Wednesday the 7th.
For 7 people?
It's for 4 people.
4 people? When?
It's Wednesday at 6 p.m.
Oh, actually, we leave here for, like, upper, like, 5 people.
For people, you can come.
How long is the wait usually to be seated?
For when, tomorrow or weekday or?
For next Wednesday, the 7th.
Oh, no, it's not too busy. You can come for 4 people, okay?
Oh, I gotcha. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Again, that was a real call. We have many of these examples where the calls quite don't go as expected, but the assistant understands the context, the nuance. It knew to ask for wait times in this case and handle the interaction gracefully.
So let's just pause there for a second. We are in the middle of 2018, and a robot, to all intents and purposes, is now able to have a conversation with a human at a basic level to book a hair appointment, or in terms of the restaurant, actually handle, you know, on the fly conversations. So if you think that's crazy, then, you know, I don't know, if you just don't know whether you believe that where this world is going, or you're still not entirely sure, then you need to read. There are a couple of books you need to read. You need to read Life 3.0 by Max Tegmark, but don't read The Prelude until he tells you. You need to read Technology versus Humanity by Gerd Leonhard, and then anything by Callum Chase. But the point of the matter is that, you know, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, this would not have even been deemed possible. And I've been in sales my entire life. I've been in sales, which is phone based. I've been outfield based, and now in terms of, you know, what I do in my role with Digital Leadership Associates, you know, I ultimately still am in sales. But this completely and utterly, you know, blew my mind. And I think that if you are in any type of front-end sales qualification, sales development rep, whatever you call it role, then you need to be seriously considering how the hell are you going to compete with this, or more importantly, how are you going to actually adapt and work and let this augment your role. You know, for me, way back when I was on recruitment days, yeah, it was 100 cold calls a day. It was a pre-internet, pre-Facebook, LinkedIn, social era. And I smashed the phones out, and I was recruiting sales professionals. And again, it was pretty straightforward. You're either new business or account management. You may be field-based, in which case you got a car or a car allowance. And that was kind of it. Those are the three roles that I recruited, and you ran the deal cradle to grave, and I certainly ran the deal cradle to grave. So I picked up the phone, I got a meeting with a company to recruit for, then you go the whole way through and you pitch to them, and then you win. So you fast forward to today in terms of the, you know, the role of the SDR, and they are ultimately an outbound qualification sales tool. Let's break it down to what it is. Yes, I get it that there are SDRs where you actually do close the whole way through on the phone, but for the larger deal sizes, it is find the opportunity, develop the opportunity, manage the opportunity, qualify the opportunity, etc., etc. But if you accept, or choose to accept, whatever it is, the research is out there, you know, from Gartner's Challenger Sell, that 57% of the buying process is done before anybody engages with a sales rep. We move on to self-guided journeys. We don't want to be sold to. You know, just imagine what that journey might look like if you're moving into chatbot technology online. Someone lands on a website, you then have a chatbot rather than a human being guiding that person through just to the buying point where maybe they leave, but they come back in a couple of weeks' time, or they then leave and then they opt into some kind of marketing or drift marketing type campaign, or they then choose to follow the individual, the person they think is a person on social, so that person can then start sharing insights insight and interesting content. We ultimately look at, you know, any kind of desk-based, phone-based role where the interaction is purely on the phone, just to start a conversation. And especially, you know, let's talk at the low end, sort of customer service, customer sales, low end value market, where they are following a script and you do not deviate from the script. Well, how is that any different from what we've just heard, Google Duplex or Google's AI assistant? Not even following a script, it's programmed in terms of all the, you know, the NLP or the machine learning or whatever you want to call it within Google Cloud. So every time you say, hey Google, every time you do a search, every time you do anything on Google, it is learning, and now it is translating that into a language. And if we kind of just take a step back and we go, okay, well, but we're talking the B2B doesn't buy this way, this is not how B2B works. So right, so let's look at I'm going to use Uber as an example. Pre-Uber, we didn't even know that the problem that Uber solved existed. We hailed a cab, or we called a cab, and it was a faff to find the telephone number to call the cab, and then the cab to like speak to the time, or have you, or the taxi. And then said taxi would hopefully arrive at the time that you'd agreed. Now, with Uber, we're not talking to anybody. We're literally just booking it there and then, and the taxi or the cab arrives at the predetermined destination that you choose to. But ultimately, then that does, you know, what does it potentially mean in the dispatcher's office? Rather than them handling, you know, masses and masses of inbound, they can handle complaints, they can handle problems, they can deal with the stuff which needs immediate human intervention rather than just a basic process of, you know, booking a cab or a taxi. We look at Deliveroo, same principle. You know, certainly for me in the UK market, you know, it was a Sunday, you're probably a bit tired. You book your takeout, you have to go and get your paper menu, then have to make a phone call, then it's like, oh, I don't want to make the phone call, I don't want to talk to anybody, I don't want to do this, but I do it. Now Deliveroo, you know, solves that problem in terms of what is perceived as a mundane, I'm just ordering stuff to get stuff done type function. Then the least path of resistance typically is don't involve a human. So post Deliveroo, then our restaurants are turning over more covers. They are maximizing their staff because their staff are getting caught up and taking deliveries and so on and so forth. And actually, it's win-win for everybody. You know, people just pivot and they just learn and understand. You know, and this. Yeah, we can go on and on and on and talk about this sort of thing, but what the B2B world needs to understand is this is ultimately ubiquitous of how our market is now buying. And the problem is we are still selling how people bought 20 years ago, not how people are buying today. And okay, you're probably sitting here going, yeah, but it's not relevant for my industry or my SDRs. You know, their value prop is further up the food chain in terms of deal size or whatever it might be. But if we look at some Oracle 2016 research, you know, this is a 2016 research, this isn't 2018, this is 2016 research. You know, VR and chatbots are set to surge. 78% of brands expect to be using VR for CX by 2020, so customer experience. 34% have already implemented technology to some degree. 80% of brands will be using chatbots for customer interactions by 2020. 80% of brands will be using chatbots for customer interactions by 2020, and 36% have already implemented them. 48% of brands have implemented automation technologies in sales, marketing, customer service. Automation technologies in sales, marketing, customer service. Another 40% planning this to do so by 2020. So that's 88% total. Automation technologies in sales and marketing and customer services. They're not saying replace, but they're saying automate. So if they're not, how do you then work around that automation? However, the big issue is around data, and you know, GDPR has been done to death. Post 25th of May, hopefully it'll be the last of here we hear it. But 60% of brands don't currently include social or CRM data in their customer analytics. If you are one of those 60% who are listening to this and you are not looking at CRM or social data as part of your go-to-market strategy, you are insane. There's no two ways about it. The amount of insight that you can get from this from a basic level, and I guarantee that you will have some kind of basic analytics on your website. Even if it's just from an organisational level, who visited, that is seriously useful. And you're paying tens of thousands of pounds to manage these websites, maintain these websites, pay the salaries of the people that maintain these websites. the content and so on and so forth. Yeah, I guarantee you are not using them in a sophisticated way to help you drive better sales conversations. 41% agree smarter analysis of customer data will have the biggest impact on the experience they deliver, and 42% agreed already collect a great deal of data from multiple sources but actually don't know what to do and how they do it. So in terms of, you know, wider applications to understand this, if you're not familiar with X.AI or Amy, she is an AI-powered personal assistant. She's been around for a couple of years now. And to the point that in my previous life, one of my colleagues was so convinced that she was dealing with a human being that she actually bought a bar of chocolate to take over to the US. And her contact said, well, who's that for? And she said, there's Amy. And then he said, well, actually, you do realise that Amy doesn't exist. It's just a computer software program that I use to help book meetings. And my colleague kind of refused to believe that actually the person that she was conversing with on email wasn't actually a human being. And this tech has been around for... you know, for a while. We look at how LinkedIn is now driving pre-populates replies. Look at how Gmail is now, you know, moving towards it. All that starts to predict in terms of what it thinks you should be writing in your email based on your previous experience and your language and how you do it. But ultimately, you know, technology is changing the way that we interact. Technology is changing the way that we live. And therefore, if you're at the younger end or the junior end or the internal end, inside sales, sales development, rep, whatever, I don't care. If you're in sales and you are sticking your head in the sand on this, then you, with the greatest respect in the world, good luck. Because nobody knew what Uber would do. Nobody knew what Airbnb would do to the hotel industry. We didn't know we didn't have these issues until they became apparent issues that needed solving. But more importantly, as we become more and more comfortable in terms of engaging with technology, engaging with chatbots from a consumer perspective, then this will just become the expectation at the B2B space. So even that online kind of self-guided journey on your website, you know, how are you potentially using chatbot technology to influence those individuals, to move them into the sales funnel when you want them, how you want them, and wherever you want them? And if you want to take this sort of one step further in terms of, well, who's actually doing this whole kind of seamless, joined up, end-to-end data analysis, then just look at what Microsoft's doing. Microsoft paid $26 billion for LinkedIn for a business that's worth $3. They're now starting to blend the LinkedIn data into the Microsoft ecosystem. So if you take Dynamics 365, the latest version online cloud basis, they've got LinkedIn data. You populate that with good CRM data. You then populate with your client feedback. Go and talk to your clients independently. Why did we win? How did we win? What were you buying? What didn't you buy? Microsoft's new marketing automation platform is going to give you, and I don't mean automation in terms of just, you know, spray and pray and spamming. You know, some thought process and logistics have gone into this in terms of making sure you've got the right people but receiving the right information. Then layer that with social listening data, so their Microsoft social engagement tool. Then anything that is learned from Azure or Cortana, as and when people engage more and more and more. And all of this tech actually exists today. This isn't like some newfangled Black Mirror type kind of stuff. All this tech actually exists. The point is how are you going to build this tech into your day-to-day go-to-market strategy? Or how are you going to change your behaviors and thought processes to understand and recognize that some aspects are going to be replaced? That isn't a bad thing, because that frees you up to be more human. And back to, you know, way back to what Ger was saying in his video, in terms of, you know, that which cannot be digitized will become extremely valuable. And you can't digitize your experience in terms of what is in your head. However, you know, what you can start to think about is that just don't go down the line of the Luddites and the, you know, first industrial revolution and the printing presses, where, you know, they were printers who did things by hands, and the printing presses came out and they weren't going to smash them up thinking that would help, and it just didn't, because the printing press technology just rolled on. And much like social technology is going to continue to roll on, and there'll be a new addition into the market at some point, and it'll be interesting to see what, you know, what happens. But ultimately, from where you are in your career from a B2B perspective, if you're not on social and you're not engaging, then you may as well be invisible. So, you know, from my perspective, we then take that back to the question around the SDR and the Google Duplex. Yep, I think you're going to be replaced. maybe not next year, not 20 years, next 2 years, so maybe 2020 is a bit punchy, but I think that at the lower end, low margin, high volume stuff, why do you need to talk to a human being where you can either use chatbot or chatbot technology to guide them through this, and or AI conversational technology to guide them through this? So that's going to save you on overheads, it's going to save you on time and automation, etc. It makes your business more profitable, and then the circle of life goes on. So those are my thoughts on all of this this evening. I hope that you found that interesting and insightful. As ever, come to me with any questions or queries. Follow me on Twitter at Alexander_Low or on LinkedIn, Alexander Low, and you can see further rants and raves and musings. But until next week, have a good time.